Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, 27 April 2025, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are in verse 11. And so far we've exegeted, now if the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, from the one, God the Father, who raised up Jesus out from all the dead ones. And then we have the verb oikeo. O-I-K-E long O. Oikeo. And a couple of things on this verb oikeo. First of all, it means to live, to dwell, to have one's habitation. To live, to dwell, to have one's habitation. Two, oikeo describes the Spirit of God who dwells in the church-age believer. Oikeo describes the Spirit of God who dwells in the church-age believer. Point three, in our verse, Romans 8:11, oikeo describes the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer. In our verse, Romans 8:11, oikeo describes the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer. Four, at the moment of salvation, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every church age believer. Unique to this dispensation, there was no indwelling of the Spirit in the age of Israel. None. There was the endowment of the Spirit, but no indwelling of the Spirit and no filling of the Spirit. Endowment of the Spirit could be given, and the endowment of the Spirit could be taken away. David, he prayed, take not your Spirit from me. He had the endowment of the Spirit. But no indwelling of the Spirit in the Old Testament times, unique to us in the church age. So at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every church age believer. Five, the Holy Spirit continues to indwell the body of every church age believer forever. God the Holy Spirit indwells you right now. Right now, He indwells your tent, and then He will indwell your resurrection body. You will always be, we will always be royal family of God, unique. There's a lot of believers going to be in heaven who are family of God from Old Testament times, but we are always will be royal family of God. So the Holy Spirit continues to indwell the body of every church age believer forever. Right now. The preposition and plus the dative plural of su and plus su. And plus the dative plural, the personal pronoun su means in you. It's in the plural, in y'all, if you're from the South. Or all church age believers. Six, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit has a present purpose and a future purpose. The indwelling of God the Holy Spirit has a present purpose and a future purpose. Point seven, the present purpose. The present purpose is to serve as the base of operations for the filling of the Holy Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is the key to grace perspicacity. Grace perspicacity. So the present purpose, a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, so that we can, one, live the spiritual life. Spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power to live it. That supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. So Ephesians 5:18, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. You see, filled with the Spirit, but that's keep on being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The spiritual life can only be lived by divine power, God the Holy Spirit. So, first of all, so that we can live the spiritual life. Secondly, so that we can grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the grace perspicacity. That's the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit to fulfill 2 Peter 3:18 and grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Third, so that we attain spiritual maturity. We start out at salvation as a baby, spiritual babies. And unfortunately, just like the believers in Corinth in Paul's day, they stayed babies for years and years. They stayed babies. And so Paul could give them was milk. Because they couldn't handle sound doctrine. They couldn't handle the meat and potatoes. Or salmon. I eat a lot of seafood, a lot of fish, and a lot of salmon. I eat a lot of salmon. And we have Saturday, every Saturday is Salmon Saturday at Pastor Olson's house. So if you would like to have some wonderful salmon, the best salmon in the entire city of Las Vegas, not in any restaurant, the best salmon, Debbie makes the best salmon in Las Vegas. And you won't believe. You won't believe. Oh, stand up and take a bow. You know where she makes it? The microwave. The microwave. The best salmon you will ever eat in the microwave. I've gone to, I don't even order it at restaurants anymore. Puff. No way. I order it and it comes, well, first of all, it's too thin, then it's too dry and not moist and nothing good about it. Debbie, the salmon, first of all, thick. You want to come over? You want to come over for salmon? Okay. It's moist. It flakes off the way it's supposed to flake off, not mushy. Flakes off. I eat a lot of salmon. Now, I know some of you probably don't like salmon. Well, if you kind of want to know what this is, that's 10 of these. See, that's the thing. Well, there went the dignity of the clergy. Attain spiritual maturity so that you can live the spiritual life, grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, attain spiritual maturity, and fulfill the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Point, that's the present purpose. Point eight, the future purpose. The future purpose, the Holy Spirit indwells our body as a down payment of our future resurrection body. Our guarantee that we have a future resurrection body. So the future purpose, the Holy Spirit indwells our body as the down payment of our future resurrection body, our guarantee that we have a resurrection, future resurrection body. So far we have. Now if the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, from the one, God the Father, who raised up Jesus out from all the dead ones, indwells you, first class condition, and he does indwell you. And I want to, there's two things I want to cover here. Both God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are agents in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Both the Father and the Holy Spirit. Some scriptures emphasize God the Father as the agent of the resurrection of Christ. Other scriptures emphasize God the Holy Spirit as the agent for the resurrection of Christ. So first of all, scripture for God the Father as the agent of the resurrection of Christ. Those scriptures, well, our verse right here, Romans 8:11. That's one of the verses where God the Father is the agent of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are some other ones. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for his Son, that is God the Father's Son, Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of the Father, and to wait for his Son, God the Father's Son from heaven, whom he, God the Father, raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. And then another passage, we're putting spotlight on God the Father as the agent of resurrection. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Who through him are believers in God, God the Father, who raised Him, Jesus Christ, from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So those are the scriptures that put the spotlight on God the Father as the agent of the resurrection of Christ. Now, let's take a look at the scriptures that put the spotlight on God the Holy Spirit as the agent for the resurrection of Christ. And one is my favorite Easter verse to start off Easter study, and that's Romans 1, verse 4. And make sure you have the correct translation. Who was powerfully declared. Who was powerfully declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ our Lord. Powerful, powerful resurrection passage. Romans 1, 4. And then 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ, who died for sin once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Resurrection of Jesus Christ through the agency of God the Holy Spirit. All right, now back to our verse, Romans 8:11. He that raised up Christ from the dead. This is the articular aorist active participle of agero plus the accusative singular of Christos with the definite article plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive plural of nekros. Once again, and you... For you who are faithful to be here consistently and faithfully, you hear me say articular participle. When you hear me say that, you should know, okay, this is a substantival participle. And that means this participle is used as a noun. That's why you go to seminary and get the languages. It functions as a noun, and correctly translated, the one who raised. The one who raised. And then, ton Christon, the Christ. The one who raised the Christ. And then we have our preposition ek once again. Out from, and then the genitive plural of nekros. All the dead ones. The one who raised the Christ out from all the dead ones shall also give life to your mortal bodies. And this is the future active indicative of zoa poieo with the conjunction chi plus the accusative plural of soma with the definite article, modified by the accusative plural of the adjective thanatos, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su. Zoa poieo. Z, long O, O, P, O, I, E, O. O, 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 O. There you go. Zoa poieo. All right, one. Zoa poieo is a compound verb, a compound verb made up of zoe, which is the Greek word life, plus the verb poieo, which means to do or to make. So point two, literally, zoa poieo means to make alive or to give life to. To make alive or to give life to. The future tense is a predictive future. The predictive future is used to make a simple statement that something will come to pass. Something will take place. It will happen. Point three, the predictive future says that this is guaranteed to happen at the time of the rapture. The predictive future says that this is guaranteed to happen at the time of the rapture. Now, when is the rapture going to take place? God the Father knows. God the Son knows. God the Holy Spirit knows. Nobody in California knows anything. They don't know. We don't know. It's signless and timeless. But when it happens, it'll be in God's perfect timing. And will it be in our lifetime? I don't know. I have my personal opinion. I just look at, when you cut down a tree as it's falling, you can see the shadow of it before it hits. I think I see enough shadows that I wouldn't be surprised if it's just around the corner. Now, I remember when I was at Washington State University taking a real tough test in chemistry, and I would pray that the rapture would occur before that tough test in chemistry. And God, I looked up and God was going, okay, I got that one down. So the predictive future says that this is guaranteed to happen at the time of the rapture. The active voice, God the Father, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative. That is, the resurrection of the royal family of God is absolute certainty. It is a fact. It's going to happen in God's perfect timing. And then we have thanatos, soma, and I don't have a lisp. Two words here. Thanatos, T-H-N, long E-T-O-S, and then soma, S-long O-M-A. Thanatos, soma is mortal body. Mortal body, genitive plural of the personal pronoun su, your mortal bodies. So the corrected translation. Now if the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, from the one, God the Father, who raised up Jesus out from all the dead ones, indwells you, first class condition, and he does, the one who raised the Christ out from all the dead ones, will also make alive your mortal bodies, and then by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And this is the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive pneuma plus the genitive singular of autos plus the articular present active participle of enoikao plus the prepositional phrase en plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su. Dia plus the genitive. Well, you should, those of you who are faithful, you ought to know this by now. Dia plus the genitive, by means of, instrumentality, by the agency of, through. If you have dia plus the accusative, that's because of, on account of. But we have dia plus the genitive, by means of, and then pneuma, that's the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, autos, his Spirit, that is the Spirit from God the Father. Enoikeo. Now we have Enoikeo. E-N-O-I-K-E, long O, Enoikeo. Okay, again, this point one, this is a compound verb made up of the preposition en. En meaning in, oikeo, to live or to dwell. To live or dwell in, indwell. So, two, therefore, en oikeo literally means to indwell, to live in, to dwell in, to indwell. Three, the articular participle, again, is substantival. It functions as a noun, and therefore, correctly translated, the one who indwells you. The one who indwells you. The preposition en plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su, in you. And then point four, the one who indwells us is also the one who fashions our resurrection body. The one who indwells us is also the one who fashions our resurrection body. That is an amazing body, resurrection body. I am looking forward to getting that resurrection body, because when I'm in heaven, I'll be holding Bible classes and teaching whatever the Lord wants me to teach. But I'll be able to stand without any pain in my knees. I'll be fantastic. The one who indwells us is also the one who fashions our resurrection body. Point five, the down payment on the blessings of eternity has been given. And that is God the Holy Spirit. The down payment on the blessings of eternity has been given. I want to look at a couple passages, and we'll end this morning. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The one who indwells us is also the one who fashions our resurrection body. The down payment on the blessings of eternity has been given. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, the anointing of the indwelling of the Spirit. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And then turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 5. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. All right. So, verse 11. Now, if the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, from the one, God the Father, who raised up Jesus out from all the dead ones, indwells you, first class condition, and He does indwell you, the one who raised the Christ out from all the dead ones will also make alive your mortal bodies by means of His Spirit who indwells you. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.